So welcome to the Wednesday evening meeting.
Now this machine is on.
Let's start with a word of prayer and then see what we have in the Holy Scripture for us for tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for this time, one more time. Thank you that we can gather. Thank you that you have given us to each other. Thank you for this beautiful body here in Stockholm. And we just pray that you will bless this meeting, bless these thoughts that I have brought, put them, hide them in our hearts, and make them to be blessings for us, to follow us all the days of our lives. Amen. I started thinking about the word grace. We are called Greater Grace, and apparently this is very important for our ministry. But it's been a while since I have really studied grace. So I would like to share with you a little bit about the word itself, and of course some verses from the Bible, and then seven things what grace is not, just to have a better definition. If you understand what grace is not, then we understand more what it is. And these 7 points come from Pastor Brian Lange. I remember when he was teaching it in Budapest, and it's really a great blessing for us. So, as you know, the Greek word that's translated grace is charis in the New Testament, and it occurs 170 times in the New Testament. Charis. And it comes from the word chara, which means joy, pleasure or delight. So charis is something that is enjoyable or pleasant or delightful, full of delight. A pleasant external appearance, graciousness, loveliness, that's grace. And it was used in biblical times, but then in the Bible it got some special meaning. Also, when we think about grace, it's doing something that's lovely, something that is pleasant. And then we understand that it's being nice to somebody, doing something that somebody doesn't deserve. And that's closer to our definition, what we use. We say that grace is a favor given by somebody. And what's interesting about this word is that the same word charis is used also from the recipient's point of view. When I have received a gracious act and it induces gratitude or thankfulness, the same word is used, charis. So the emotion that is awakened in the recipient, gratitude or thankfulness. And then Paul gave a special meaning, a special usage to this word charis, because what we have been talking about so far has nothing to do with the person being deserving and undeserving. It's just something nice that somebody does for somebody else. And Chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, define grace. Romans 11, 5 and 6. We'll read quite much from the book of Romans, a few verses. So it says here, even so, then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. Mm-hmm. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Mm-hmm. So Paul contrasts grace and works. And he says, if I receive something, anything by grace, as a favor, then it means that I didn't work for it. If I would have to work for it, then it's not grace anymore, and vice versa. If it's by works, then it's not by grace, and if it's by grace, then it's not by works. Our election, God's love towards those that He elected, is by His grace alone. And there's a similar verse, Romans 4:4, when He speaks about Abraham, how Abraham became righteous in the eyes of God. It was also by grace and not by death, but by grace. So this is something interesting, that only somebody who has a higher position or more power or more finances can give a blessing to the smaller one, right? God could give righteousness to Abraham because he was in that position that he could give. Abraham couldn't get righteousness on his own, so he depended on God to give it to him. And this is where it becomes very interesting for us. How can we get righteousness from God? How can we get eternal life? How can we get forgiveness when we cannot earn it, because it's impossible? And this is where God's grace comes into play. And I would like to speak about the 7 things now which grace is not, to understand it a little bit more. So for the first one, we can turn to Romans 5.
Grace
is not. Grace isn't withheld because of demerit. So just because I don't deserve something, if God would withhold because I don't deserve, then He would not be gracious. This is point number one. Grace is not being withheld because of undeserving people. So Romans 5:8, you will see in a verse what it says. But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Grace comes to the undeserving. And this is for the reason that we mentioned earlier, that God has to be gracious if He would like us to be righteous. Then He has to give it as a gift. Then He has to give it to the undeserving, because we can never reach it. If we would get what we deserve, that would be death and hell forever. But God does not desire for us to die, but He desires life for us. So then, in this verse, we read that God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was an act of grace. And it shows that grace is not withheld from the undeserving. That's point number one. I give you an illustration, and I try to see if I can tailor it to all 7 points. I give you $1 million. I'm not going to give it to you. Point number one is that I don't give it to you because you deserve it, because then it's not grace anymore. But grace is to the undeserving. So point number two, grace is not diminished because of demerit. So it's not so that the less lovable person will get less grace. And that's also here in Romans 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So there is no distinction between people who are less or more lovable, less or more deserving. Otherwise, grace would not be grace. So I give you 1 million crowns, and this offer is the same for the person. Okay, if somebody would show up whom I would think deserves it more, then I'm not giving it by grace. It would be a nice gift, of course. But if I change my mind because somebody deserves it less and somebody deserves it more, then I'm not a gracious person. Then point number three. These first two, and then the last two, are about the giver of grace. Now we come to the recipient. Point number three, grace does not and cannot produce debt. If I have received $1 million from somebody, and if they did it by pure grace, then I don't owe them anything in return. Right? If they give it by grace, and I don't even write them a card, I don't greet them on the street, I don't give them a Christmas gift every year, it's still fine, because grace does not create a debt. It's not give and take. And it's a very important principle, I think, in Romans 11 that we read, that if it's by works, then it's not by grace, and if it's by grace, then it's not by works. These two cannot be mixed. Grace is by grace alone, and works is by works alone. If it's by works, then it's give and take. Then we measure how much it's worth. I give what you deserve, and you pay me back according to what I have given you. But with grace, it's just pure gift. So number three was, grace cannot produce debt. Then number four, grace isn't given as a just repayment of a debt. These are a little bit strange, but if we go back to the $1 million, if somebody would, or a bank would give me a loan of $1 million, and I would show up, knock on their door, and have the suitcase with me with the $1 million and say, "Here you are, I give it to you." That's not an act of grace that I give them back what they deserve, right? It's not a just repayment of a debt. That's not grace. And it's very interesting if you think about our relationship with God, how many times I think that God owes me something. I have been a good Christian, I have followed God for the most part of my life, so now I expect Him to give me a good job. Because that's how He could be gracious to me. No, grace is not a repayment for something. Not a just repayment. Then point five, grace isn't the overpayment of a debt. There's a debt, and I pay that and even more. The example illustration would be that I owe Kirsi gives me, no, that's not a good example because we are married, but somebody would give me 10 crowns, and then I feel like, wow, I'm so blessed, here, 1 million crowns for you. But because works are involved in it already. Where another example, son, if you cut the grass, then I give you 1 million crowns. No, works are involved. There's a merit. It's not a favor anymore. It's mixed. The two are mixed. So it's not an overpayment. That's not grace either. And then verse 6 and 7, I would like to listen. Or I would like you to listen, because maybe it's hard to understand at first. Chapter point 6 says, grace doesn't appear in God's immediate dealings with the unsaved. So grace is not the way how God relates to the unsaved people by default. Grace doesn't appear in God's immediate dealings with the unsaved. What does that mean? I thought God was gracious. No, but the point is that grace is a gift. Grace is something special. Grace is totally dependent on the grace giver, when and how they want to show themselves to be gracious. So it's not something that that can be demanded. It's not something that would appear in the everyday dealings of God with the unsaved people. And then point seven is the same for the saved, the believers. The grace doesn't appear in God's immediate dealings with the believer. And there's an interesting verse here to show in our daily relationship with God. In 1 John 1:9, you know that verse, but I just turned it because I need to see and read. It would be accurate. Hopefully I can find it. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, how often do we do that? I think that's like the everyday dealings of God with us, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not just if He feels like that, if He is in a gracious mood. But He is faithful because He does it every time. And He is just because He cannot do otherwise. If He wouldn't forgive, then He would not be just. So, you see, in this relationship, grace is not how God relates to us. But He does it through His justice that was given to us in Christ. So, 7 points. Grace is not withheld from the undeserving. Grace is not diminished because of demerit. Grace does not produce a debt. Grace is not given as a just repayment of a debt. Grace isn't the overpayment of a debt. And grace doesn't appear in God's immediate dealings with the unsaved or the believer. So these are just some thoughts to put grace into another light, maybe to have a deeper understanding about it. And like I said, these 7 points were taken from Pastor Brian Lange in Budapest many, many years ago. I don't even know if he remembers that he was teaching these. But it was really a blessing. So, if you listen on the internet, or for us who listen, it's very important to understand about grace that it's a sovereign act of somebody who is in the position to give it. And we can receive it. That's our part. One story that I was thinking about, and I forgot to say, because it demonstrates also these points, is that when Jesus tells a parable about the workers in the vineyard, do you remember that? The owner goes in the morning, in the noon and in the afternoon, get some workers to work in his vineyard. And then at the end, he starts paying them, and he pays the last first, who came in the afternoon and who worked less. And they get a full day's wages. So that was an act of grace, because he did not need to pay that much. Well, I wouldn't know if, according to this definition, we just said that grace is not an overpayment of a debt. But it was an act of kindness. And then, those who came in the morning expected that they would get something more. because they did not understand that it was not by works. So when they get the same payment, they start murmuring and they say, well, I thought that we would get more. And then the master says, why do you have evil thoughts about me? Are your thoughts evil? Is your eye evil because I am good? You don't understand how it works. Because, so the point is that grace is a sovereign act of kindness. And as such, it's a gift, it's a privilege. It cannot be earned, it cannot be deserved, it cannot be acquired any other way. Only if there's somebody who is willing to give it. And what a great thing that eternal life is given as a gift. Righteousness is given as a gift of grace. Forgiveness is given from God through grace. And that's what Paul says to us. So, receive this gift of grace and receive eternal life as long as it's available. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you came and you died for us to take our sins. Thank you that nobody made you do it. Thank you that we couldn't earn it and that you don't expect anything in return. We love you, Jesus, for what you have done on the cross. And we thank you that this same love is following us all the days of our lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you.